Have you ever said no to someone and immediately felt that pang of guilt wash over you? You're not alone. This emotional response stems from deep-seated beliefs about our obligations to others, beliefs that often don't serve our well-being. When we decline requests, set boundaries, or express preferences contrary to others' expectations, many of us experience intense guilt, anxiety, and self-doubt. This psychological trap keeps us trapped in cycles of compliance and resentment. The revolutionary premise behind "When I say no, I feel guilty" is startlingly simple yet profoundly liberating. You have the absolute right to be your own judge, and no one can make you feel guilty without your permission. This insight emerged from Manuel Smith's work with Peace Corps trainees, who, despite excellent technical training, crumbled when locals questioned their motives, a pattern that appeared repeatedly in his clinical practice. The resulting systematic assertive therapy has transformed millions of lives by teaching people how to maintain boundaries without sacrificing relationships. At the heart of assertiveness lies the Bill of Assertive Rights, 10 principles establishing your right to judge your own behavior, offer no reasons for decisions, determine your responsibility for others' problems, change your mind, make mistakes, say, "I don't know," be independent of others' goodwill, be illogical, say, "I don't understand," and express indifference. The most fundamental right, judging your own behavior, thoughts, and emotions, challenges the manipulative training most of us received growing up. By exercising this right, you reclaim responsibility for your existence, which naturally disturbs those who believe people must be controlled. Those who fear independence cling to external standards until they feel comfortable. We create unspoken rules about everything from public behavior to family dynamics based on childhood beliefs, then manipulatively use them to control others and relieve our insecurity. The tragedy is that manipulators don't realize the only justification needed for requesting change is simply wanting that change. Daily, people try to manipulate us through guilt, anxiety, or making us feel ignorant. When friends request unwanted favors, we fear rejection or appearing selfish, a response conditioned since childhood that allows others to make us feel bad for non-compliance. A common manipulation tactic is demanding explanations for your decisions. When someone asks, "Why can't you come to my party?" they're enforcing the belief that you must justify yourself. The assertive response is simply, "I won't be able to make it," though this directness often feels uncomfortable. Another strategy involves making their problems yours, an effective form of emotional manipulation. Manipulators present their issues as your responsibility, using guilt about the system or circumstances beyond control. They might say, "If you really cared about me, you'd help." Most insidiously, manipulators use the threat of withdrawn goodwill, "You'll be sorry," or "I'll remember that," to force compliance. These subtle threats create anxiety about potential consequences. As Smith's editor noted, "You'll never be loved if you can't risk being disliked." Broken record is the first systematic, assertive skill, calmly repeating what you want without becoming angry or loud. Non-assertive people typically get lost in explanations and surrender quickly when faced with resistance. Take Carlo, who discovered his meat purchases missing after shopping. At the supermarket, he persistently stated, "I want my meat," despite the clerk's attempts to evade responsibility and question his memory. When told to wait for the meat manager, Carlo insisted, "Call him up here." His calm persistence led to resolution when the manager authorized replacement items. The power of broken record isn't about literal repetition, but learning persistence with effective phrasing. Many find this uncomfortable initially because we're conditioned to answer every question and justify ourselves, but no rule requires this. When both parties act assertively, disputes get resolved based on real issues rather than manipulation. This creates clearer, more honest communication. When your self-respect isn't at stake, offering a workable compromise is practical, like agreeing to wait for repairs or flipping a coin to resolve decisions. Fogging is a counterintuitive yet powerful assertive skill. Instead of becoming defensive or counterattacking, you respond like a fog bank, persistent, offering no resistance, and impossible to fight against. The technique uses three approaches. 1. Agreeing with truth in criticism. That's true, I was out late. 2. Agreeing with possible truth. You could be right that I might get sick. And 3. Agreeing with general principles while maintaining independence. You're right that looking good matters, but I'll decide when I need more sleep. Susan Levine demonstrated fogging brilliantly during a presentation to the National Association of Social Workers. When a colleague deliberately criticized her speaking style with increasingly harsh comments, Susan calmly responded with, "I'm sure I do ramble." And, that's true, I'm not a Winston Churchill, I'm a Sue Levine. This demonstration not only illustrated the technique, but transformed Susan's anxiety, allowing her to complete her presentation with animation and enjoyment. When confronted with errors, most people either seek forgiveness or defensively deny mistakes. Negative assertion teaches us to accept errors as simply errors, no more, no less. When you make a mistake, acknowledge it directly. "Oh my God, I forgot the file. What an incredibly stupid thing to do." This disarms critics by removing their ability to manipulate you through guilt. While fogging works well with formal relationships, negative inquiry is more effective for close relationships. It involves actively prompting further criticism about yourself in an unemotional manner by asking for specific information. Instead of defensively asking, "What makes you think fishing is bad?" try, "What is it about my going fishing that is bad?" By persistently using negative inquiry, you extinguish manipulative criticisms and encourage others to express their real concerns. When you're tired, we don't go out in the evening. This brings actual conflicts into the open where they can be addressed assertively. In professional settings, rather than becoming defensive about a denied raise, use negative inquiry to understand specific performance issues. "What did I do that was unmeritorious?" This shows interest in improvement and demonstrates resilience when criticized. The ultimate goal of assertiveness isn't becoming more forceful, but freeing yourself from manipulation while nurturing healthy relationships. This liberation comes from recognizing that you alone are the authority on your choices, feelings, and needs. Understanding your fundamental rights forms the cornerstone of assertiveness. The freedom to say no without guilt, express feelings honestly, change your mind, and make mistakes. With practice, assertive techniques become natural responses rather than conscious strategies. The transformation happens when your authentic voice naturally emerges from self-respect. When you stop seeking others' approval and start communicating from self-acceptance, you create space for genuine connections based on mutual respect rather than control. This shift transforms not just how others relate to you, but how you experience yourself in the world. Remember, your right to say no doesn't require justification. By maintaining boundaries while remaining open to dialogue, you create the foundation for authentic relationships where both parties can express needs honestly without manipulation. In this space, guilt loses its power and genuine connection flourishes.